I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Hey, what an awesome day. What an exciting day. The MMA of the House of Representatives. I'm serious. It's going to happen today. I mean, I'm seeing some people throw down over John Boehner. It's just going to be really, really interesting to see what really happens today. And this is very early on January 6th, so I can't even make any predictions. But like I said yesterday, this is going to be a very telling event on this afternoon. A very, very telling event. This is the potential dethroning of the establishment in the House of Representatives. They're not going to take this lightly. And I guarantee you, there are some back room meetings going on. And some people are being told some very unpleasant things. Being reminded of some very unpleasant things. And we will see. We will see how it all shakes out. You know, you made your bed. It's time to lay in it. And I'm talking to all of them. They went along with Boehner for way too long. You don't find yourself in this type of a predicament by standing for liberty from the get-go. I mean, you know, Ted Yoho is standing up and everybody's shocked, right? But you know what? If Justin Amash stood up, which I know he is. Nobody's shocked. Nobody's talking about Justin Amash not voting for John Boehner because nobody's shocked by the fact that Justin Amash would not be voting for John Boehner because Justin Amash has stood with liberty the entire time. You're not hearing about Justin Amash in the news because it's not shocking. But when you have a liberty first perspective from day one, you don't get where we are today. You simply do not. The problem that we have today is the fact that we have way too many people in the House who have simply just gone along to get along and played the little games. And now they're having to make the really, really tough choices. I'm very happy that Ted Yoho, my representative, is standing up. I'm happy that he's doing it very boldly. I just wish that he had done it from the day that he was elected. He wouldn't be in this position if he had. It's just a big shame, you know, that this is the way it is. But, you know, this is the way I see it now. Ted Yoho and whoever stand up publicly against John Boehner now will never be a part of the establishment clique. They will never be allowed to be in there again. They will be crucified. And, so, you know, that's the way it is. They better stick close to Justin Amash and Louis Gohmert from this day forward. And they better stick close because they'll hang together or they'll hang separate. But they'll surely hang. You've got Newt Gingrich backing up Boehner. I'm sure the Bushes are backing Boehner. You know, they're lot of big names. I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce is backing Boehner. I'm sure the Obama administration is backing Boehner. There's going to be some heavy hitters doing this. There's some, like I said, some back room meetings where some very unpleasant things are being said. You do this and we'll see what happens. So let's see what happens. But this is Liberty 101.2 today. I've decided to do a series on the basics of liberty. Yesterday, we started off Vince Lombardi way. Gentlemen, this is a football. Gentlemen, this is liberty. Today, we're going to talk about some things that are very important. Liberty. Tyranny. Anarchy. You see, interesting conversations on Facebook sometimes, because I have people who get upset with me. I was unfriended recently. And don't worry, you know, my feelings aren't hurt. You don't have to come up and say, well, we love you, Chrisanne. You know, this is not a fishing expedition, right? I'm not asking for anybody to make me feel better. I don't feel bad about people unfriending me, because remember, you are who you roll with. And if you can't stand with me, then you've classified yourself, and that's okay, you know? Not everybody has the stomach for this. Not everybody can put liberty first. Not everybody can see things the way they really are. And, you know, everybody's got to come to their awakening in their own way. But I had somebody unfriend me recently who claimed that she had been following me from the very get-go. And she told me that she was concerned, or that she couldn't follow me anymore because I've turned into, you know, a conspiracy theorist, right? So she says, I'm unhinged, is what she said. And she's leaving. Well, you know, I don't want somebody to run away angry because the door gets shut and then you can't actually teach someone. And I said, I said to her, all my analysis are based upon law, constitution, history, and fact. No opinions. I said, so if you see a conspiracy in what I write, it must be based in fact. And she said, conspiracies can never be based on fact. That's why it's a conspiracy. Now, I think that's a very interesting perspective. Somebody can please tell me, where does that come from? Conspiracies are never based in fact. So, you know, I looked up that word conspiracy in the dictionary. A conspiracy is a secret plan by a group to do something unlawful or harmful. Quote, a conspiracy to destroy the government. Synonyms are plot, scheme, plan, machination, ploy, trick, ruse, subterfuge, racket. A conspiracy to manipulate the results. A second definition, the action of plotting or conspiring. They were cleared of conspiracy to pervert the course of justice. Collusion, intrigue. Collaboration, treason. Conspiracy to commit murder. There is no definition within the word conspiracy that dictates that it's false or contrived or an illusion. Conspiracies are very based in fact. As a matter of fact, we have a whole criminal law division for conspiracy of crimes. But where does this come from? This idea that conspiracies are loony bird things. So I reached out to her. I said, if you're finding fault in any of the truth, the logic, or history that I present in my analyses, I said, I'm more than willing to look at your challenges. I certainly wouldn't want to be willingly teaching error. Remember, when you endeavor to bring the truth, you must always search for wisdom. She refused. She says, no further comments are needed or will follow. She says, you have gone from a patriot to an anarchist. And at that point, you know, I'm amused by the accusations because there's no real conversation going to happen here. At this point, it's over. I'm done. She's not going to converse with me. She's not going to show me where I'm wrong. There's no opportunity to seek wisdom in this conversation. The bottom line is this. She is uncomfortable with what I am telling her, and her cognitive dissonance has kicked in. Cognitive dissonance is an enemy to truth, because what happens is that when truth exposes that the foundation upon which you've built your understanding is false, you can't handle it. Cognitive dissonance says, no, don't shatter my foundation of understanding. Now, I'm teaching you this on purpose. I'm showing this by way of example, because when you bring Liberty 101 to your friends, your family members, your coworkers, you have to be aware of this understanding of cognitive dissonance, that this principle of psychology that kicks in and says, you know what? It's not going to work. I'm not going to listen. I can't take this, because not because what you're telling me is true, is not true, and not because I'm unwilling to accept that it's not true, but because I'm unwilling to shake my foundation. I can't take it. I can't do this right now. I can't. And that's exactly what she's telling me. She has no way to substantiate the way she feels. No fact by which to dispute what I have said. She simply cannot handle the way the truth makes her feel. And so when cognitive dissonance kicks in and you don't have logic and you don't have fact to rebut, then the name calling happens. See, this is how this works. I want you to be prepared to deal with this so you don't get offended by people who speak this way. Don't get mad at people who call you names. They're just admitting two things. You see, we learn in debate class that when your opponent, your adversary in the debate, resorts to calling names, they've just admitted two things. Number one, they've admitted that they recognize that your argument is powerful and valid. And number two, they admit that they have no response. And so the only response then is name calling. And so she calls me an anarchist. And that's fine. I believe those who are comfortable with more government than our founders intended would perhaps find the position of liberty, the position of the Constitution, a little radical. Our framers were considered radical in their day. But liberty is worth being called names. Just ask James Otis Jr.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So Chris Ann Hall is an anarchist because she believes that the government should have boundaries. That she believes that the Constitution establishes very limited and defined powers, and that all the rights in the universe belong to the people. And that government should not have the right to infringe upon your freedom of speech, your freedom of press, your right to assemble, your ability to freely travel, your life, your liberty, your property. They shouldn't be allowed to search and seize without warrants and create exceptions to these limitations through their own systems. And that makes me an anarchist. But I'm no more an anarchist than Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, or Thomas Paine. Because I believe in a constitutionally sound, limited government, liberty-first perspective. But I understand that makes people uncomfortable. Even in our conservative circles, we're conflicted. And that's why we're doing Liberty 101. An anarchist. What is an anarchist? An anarchist is someone who believes that no government is appropriate at all. That the people should be left to govern themselves. To do whatever, however they please. Well, you know, I would love to live that way. That would be awesome. But if men were angels, we could live that way. But men are not angels. And Thomas Paine in his pamphlet Common Sense, gives the best understanding of why governments, in his words, are a necessary evil. He says in their best form a necessary evil, in their worst an intolerable one. There is no way that I could explain this better than Thomas Paine, and there's no way I could give it to you in the time that we have. So I want to encourage you as homework for your Liberty 101.2 class. Please, go read Thomas Paine's The Crisis. Take the time to not just simply skim it, but study it and understand it, because it makes so much sense. Look, do police officers have locks on their lockers in the locker rooms, right? Congress has locks on their office doors. Well, that may be for outside people. Okay, so then does every lock on the congressman's door have the same key? Do they share keys and locks? No. Because even those who govern can't govern themselves appropriately. There must be protections. There must be locks. There must be securities. And if we lived in small communities, just simple rural communities, then the minimalist of government would be necessary. But as Paine recognized, the larger our communities become, and the more disassociated we are to our neighbors, the less we trust them. And the less we can trust our neighbors, the more protections we need to provide. And that's just human nature. How many subdivisions do we have across this country where people can't even give you the names of the people who live down the street? I mean, it didn't used to be that way. When I grew up, my goodness, we not only knew people, practically every single person on our block, but we knew people blocks in either direction. But because we have become such a socially incompatible society, combined with a disassociation with morality, we have come to the situation where we are no longer capable of governing ourselves, no longer willing to govern ourselves. And so we cry out to government to keep us safe from our neighbors and from ourselves. Government can't make you moral. Government cannot. But they can apply force. And they're more than happy to do so. The problem is, the government can only apply force if you give them the power to do that. And the more power government has, the less liberty you have. That's why morality is so important in a society, because morality gives us the opportunity to self-governance. Immorality gives us the opportunity to be subjects to government force and protection. Liberty 101.2. Something we all need to grasp.
My mama always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to lead. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So I am not an anarchist. I think that I could probably be easily called a minarchist, as Jefferson and Madison and Paine were. Minarchists, people who believe that the minimal government necessary to operate an orderly society. And that in order to maintain a minimal government necessary, you must retain the superiority of the people's power to govern government. Which means we have to recognize when government has gone too far. We have to be able to understand that the purpose of our government is in liberty, is in property, life. Samuel Adams taught us in 1772, among the natural rights of the colonists are these: first, life; secondly, liberty; third, property, together with the right to protect and defend those things. But if you don't have the right to protect and defend your life, your liberty, and your property from the government, then you'll never have the right to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from your neighbor either. And if you can't, and you feel in fear of doing those things, then the government will rule and reign over you. Noah Webster said, before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. Why? Not because, you know, they don't have a way to keep the standing army off their doorstep, but because without the ability to protect your life, your liberty, and your property, you live in fear. You feel inadequate to protect your life, your liberty, and your property yourself. So you cry out to government to do that for you. And then you give permission for the standing army to stand on your porch because you're afraid of losing your life, your liberty, your property, and you're incapable of defending yourself. It's what we saw in Boston after the bombing. We saw people cheering on government forces, marching down our streets, like they're marching down the streets of Baghdad in full battle array, ripping homeowners, innocent people, out of their homes without warrants at gunpoint. People cheering that on. Why? Because they'd been disarmed. They were afraid there was a terrorist in their house. And if there was a terrorist in their house, they were incapable of defending themselves. See, Liberty 101 says you have to have the right to keep and bear arms, but you also have to have the ability to exercise that right. You have to have the desire to exercise that right. Because otherwise, you are ruled by force, and that is tyranny. Tyranny, the definition of tyranny. Government rule by force. What is wrong with pointing out that? I don't think that makes me an anarchist. By showing how our Congress has continually passed laws that have infringed upon our liberty. The Food Safety Modernization Act, which gives the Department of Homeland Security, the EPA, the FDA, and eight other governmental agencies the power to regulate what you eat. And the bill includes, the bill which is now law, thanks to our conservative Republicans of 2012, gives these governmental agencies the right to rule and reign by force and regulation over your backyard gardens. The bill language actually mentions farmers' markets and roadside fruit stands. Very small farms. Do you know how Congress defined a very small farm in the Food Safety Modernization Act? They didn't. Why? Not because they forgot. Because they didn't want to do the dirty work. So by not defining a very small farm, do you know what they did? They allow now the Department of Homeland Security, the EPA, the FDA, and these other governmental agencies and their committees define very small farm by regulation. Which means, once again, we have 10 government agencies, executive branch agencies, writing law, elected by no one. That is legislation without representation, and that is tyranny. That is anti-liberty. How about the Federal Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act? I think that's what brought all of this on with my dear friend unfriending me. the fact that this bill, Congress, again, our conservative Republican Congress, turns our First Amendment into a federal offense. They actually said in this bill that it is a federal offense to disrupt the orderly conduct of government. See, I didn't see that exception in the First Amendment. You have freedom of speech unless you disrupt the orderly conduct of government. You better be very, very concerned when you allow the government to define words like disrupt and then infringe upon your rights for that. These are the things that we need to awaken to Liberty 101. Because we are surrounded by people in our Tea Party groups, in our conservative groups, in our constitutionally minded citizenry that are uncomfortable with liberty. Simply because they've never been exposed to it. It's a light. We've been living in the darkness for so long. And shining this light, you know, sort of like Dracula coming out of his coffin in the middle of the day. Ah, light, can't take it. That's where we are in America. We're afraid of the light. Well, we got to keep shining. We got to keep teaching. We got to keep searching. We have to do this, even when it's uncomfortable. James Otis Jr., the man who birthed our liberty movement in 1761, was called every name in the book except for a good Christian man, threatened with his job. You will never practice law in the kingdom again. Charged with treason and threatened his life. They waited for him as he came out of a restaurant one night where the government assigned mercenaries, government-controlled mercenaries, to beat James Otis Jr. to death because he challenged their warrantless searches. You know, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing, call me what you will. My liberty is worth more than my name. He said, I am willing to take every attack, every odious name calling for liberty's sake. Because I believe this is my duty to my country and to my posterity. Liberty 101 means you must understand that the government must be limited. Must be limited, and you must understand that we hold the power to limit. We started from the very beginning with the Lee Resolution and the Declaration of Independence, establishing that everything that we did from 1776 to 1788 was only done through the will and the consent of the people. The highest power and authority in this place, in this Union, within our states, from the very day one, the most powerful part of government has always been the will and the consent of the people. My goodness, even kings understood that. Even kings understood that you can't be too oppressive too quickly because the people will rise up and chop off your stinking head. Perhaps that's what's happened to us. Maybe we would have been better off to be a kingdom, because at that point in time we would have realized that when the government gets too big, the only solution is a rise and revolt of the people. We've become so civilized, we don't understand the power and the responsibility that comes with that power. But you see, that's what liberty teaches. Liberty teaches that it's gift from God and not from government. So in Liberty 101.2, we're going to learn the definition of liberty. Liberty is freedom plus morality. Freedom all by itself is not liberty. We are born free. The God that created the heaven and the earth, the God that created us, granted us free will to do whatever we please. But freedom alone is not liberty. Freedom alone means I'm free to lie, I'm free to steal, and I am free to murder. I am free to do whatever I want to do, regardless of how that hurts my neighbor. That's not liberty. That is anarchy. But you see, liberty says, I understand that I'm free, but I have the morality to restrain myself. I am free to lie, I'm free to steal, and I'm free to murder, but I will not, because it's wrong. That's what liberty is. That's why John Adams told the commanders of the Massachusetts Brigade that our Constitution is for a religious and moral people alone. It is wholly inadequate for any other. He was trying to explain that we are creating a government that has certain limited power. But the power in the hands of the government, if not constrained by a moral people, will allow that government, he said, to destroy the Constitution as a whale through a net. You see, if the people become immoral and no longer able to govern themselves, no longer willing to govern themselves, then we will delegate through permission and consent, not through alteration of the Constitution, of course. We will delegate more and more power to government. And the more power government has, the less liberty we have, and the destruction of the Constitution is the result. And here we have 2015.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Liberty 101.2 today. Where does the time go? Here we are already in the last segment. Things that we wanted to do today. Liberty. Tyranny. Anarchy, all defined. How they work together. Why our people made a constitutional republic and not a democracy. Democracies are no different than kingdoms. Kingdoms, monarchies, is a one guy rule. Democracy is mob rule. Democracy says that the majority holds all the power and grants the privileges to the people. And if they have the power and grant the privileges, then they can always take it back. And you are ruled by mob rule. We also have a phrase called mob mentality, because we know mobs are fickle and stupid. And so what we do when we call ourselves a democracy is say that we want to be ruled by stupid, fickle people. Is that what you want? Keep repeating that lie, and that's what we'll be. A union of people. A group of people. Ruled by the stupid and the fickle. Governments like democracies, by the way, because they understand stupid, fickle people can be distracted and ruled and controlled by crises and shiny things. Just show them enough crises to make them afraid, enough shiny things to keep them in submission, and they will hand you all the power that you need to do whatever you want. That's why they're trying to brainwash us into believing we're a democracy. That's why even our talking heads on Fox call us a democracy, because the brainwashing goes so deep. We are not a democracy. We are the opposite of a democracy. We are a republic where the people hold all the power, where liberty is the ruling factor, and government is limited and maintained by the Constitution, by law. And so what happens when that goes crazy? You know, I had told you yesterday that we were going to talk about driver's license today. I just don't think that's going to fit. You're just going to have to give me a little latitude here to maybe address those tomorrow. I think that'll probably fit in tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll get to life, liberty, and property, and the right to protect them. This is Liberty 101.2. We're starting with the basics. because we need to reach out to people so cognitive dissonance will not kick in. We need to reach out to people. There are mechanisms by which we can fix this. I want you to understand. But we have to wake up and free ourselves from the brainwashing. You know, one of the first steps we can do to free ourselves from the brainwashing is to break free from party politics. Washington warned us about party politics, said it would be the death of the republic. We have a presidential election that's coming up. I want to give you a tool. I want to show you someplace. Go to opendebates2016.com. This is going to be, if we can pull it off, this is going to be a mechanism to conduct presidential debates outside the party politics, outside the party rule, outside the Democrats and the Republicans writing the rules and writing the questions and giving all the answers at the same time. OpenDebates2016.com. Would you take a second to go there today and find out what you have? And we need to make this happen. This is a very important endeavor. So right now we're looking for corporate sponsors. If you are a business owner and you want to help break away from the party politics and the party rule, help us pull this off. We're gonna be doing a massive publicity launching this summer of Open Debates 2016. So the Liberty First Brigade, you guys are getting a sneak preview of this. Go to Open Debates 2016. Share the page. Let's get educated. Let's break free from these party politics. Let's break free from party rule, from these private corporate clubs that are telling us how we can vote and who we can vote for. Are you sick and tired of the establishment trying to shove people down our throats like Jeb Bush and Chris Christie and Mitt Romney and Mike Huckabee and Marco Rubio and whoever they have clinging to the establishment party now? Then be part of the solution, please. It's very, very simple. Nobody's asking you to pick up a musket or a sword. Go to Open Debates 2016 and let's help break free. Liberty 101.3 tomorrow. God bless. See ya.